Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Getting today's news cycle started on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Mom's Day's on Sunday. Yeah, Mom wants a gift, but Mom, you know, she doesn't want you to spend a lot of money. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save. Each morning working on a gift idea for Mom. Matt?
It's still cool. Hours later and hours after I took it off my bed. I know that's way too much information, but great to be with you. For those of us that are on the fence about a new mattress, before you go spend $1,000, or if you just got a new mattress and you want to protect what you have, a Cool Touch bamboo mattress topper can not only make a world of difference, this is guaranteed to help you sleep better. Now, the Pure Zen Ultra Soft bamboo mattress topper is a special blend of soft microfiber and natural bamboo. This is one of my favorite tests for this cool memory topper. I removed the blinds from our guest room, and with 6 hours of direct sun exposure now hitting this mattress topper, I am telling you, it is not only still cool to the touch, but none of that heat's been able to permeate. In fact, oh, woo! This is not only still cool, this is a great way to bring some support to your back, the rest of your mattress, and my favorite deal today. At $100 off with prices as low as $79.99, you can find this deal, which is not a paid product, on our website. Go to facebook.com/dealboss for a link to this and other great deals.
Matt Granite, follow him on Twitter at Matt Granite. Watch him on 3 this morning. Back here same time tomorrow. It's a great deal. Just go to WTAM.com, keyword save. You'll see what he's talking about. A couple of clicks, and you'll have it. A few of the stories we're following for you this morning. Volcanic eruptions have paused, they say, on the big island of Hawaii. Those poor people, about 1,800, had to move out. 35 different homes, businesses have been destroyed. Lava is still flowing, but for now, at least, they say the eruptions have paused. Bill Zimfer coming up in 5. He'll join me on this Iran deal.
The United States will withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal. We cannot prevent an Iranian nuclear bomb under the decaying and rotten structure of the current agreement. It's a bad deal.
President Trump with the announcement yesterday, Zimfer in 5 on who likes us getting out and who wanted us to stay in and why. That's coming up on News Radio WTAM 1100. He will explain sports here. Mornings 15 and 45 past. Mike Snyder is in. Kluber on the mound last night.
Kluber on the mound in 6 innings. A quality start. Gives up only 3 runs, but 3 runs was too many, as it was a strange night, Bill. The Brewers starting pitcher Wade Miley left the game in the first inning with a strained oblique muscle with 2 on and 1 out. Lefty Brent Suter enters the game, does a nice job, gets out of the jam, stays in the game. Then in the third inning, with a 2-1 score, the Brewers let him hit for himself as we're in the National League, and they were going to try to get a few more innings out of him. So he stands in against Corey Kluber.
The pitch, and he hits it high in the air to deep center. Davis going back. Davis looking up. You're kidding me. Off the batter's eye and dead center for Brent Suter.
That's the kind of night it was for the Tribe, and that would prove to be the winning run. Brewers win it 3-2. Here's Corey on serving up the gopher ball to the Brewers pitcher, who wasn't even supposed to be in the game.
It's the first pitch inning, trying to get ahead of a guy. Don't know anything about him as far as scattering important stuff, so try going fastball way. And it was fastball way. You know, just tip your hat to him. He went out there and got it and put a good swing on it and hit a home run.
Well, there's the perfect example of any guy who has a bat in his hand can be a threat, and that was the case. Indians just couldn't get anything. They had opportunities. They just couldn't get the big hit. Their runs came on solo homers, Jose Ramirez and Francisco Lindor. Tribe will wrap up the trip and the series this afternoon at 1:10. You can hear it right here, Carlos Carrasco on the mound. Indians now 17-18, so there's not a team in the division with a winning record. Everybody's got a losing record right now. Indians will try to get back to 500 today, and the Twins are hot. They move within a half game now of the Tribe for first in the division. And boy, sports fans in Toronto having a really bad week after the Raptors got swept by the Tribe, by the Cavs last night. The Blue Jays were no hit by Seattle's James Paxton, 5-0. Only consolation is that Paxton is a native of Canada. All is good with the Cavs these days, with the exception of Rodney Hood, who refused to play garbage time minutes in Monday night's clincher against the Raptors. Hood, who has struggled in the series and was removed removed from the rotation, has expressed remorse of his actions and won't be suspended, but how his teammates accept his apology will be the key for him going forward. Cavaliers will get back on the practice floor tomorrow. Now, tonight, the Celtics host the Sixers in Game 5. If Boston wins, it'll be the Cavs and Celtics with Game 1 Sunday. If Philly wins tonight, to keep that series alive, those teams will play a Game 6 in Philadelphia Friday. The Western Finals are set, and it's as expected. It'll be Houston and Golden State. Warriors knocked off the Pelicans 113-104. Curry with 28. Chris Paul scored 41 as Houston beat Utah 112-102. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
And Clegg, other than that, clear heading into downtown on 71 North and the Jennings North. 77 North is still a 15-minute ride from 82 in Brecksville up to East 9th Street and the Interbelt. This report is brought to you by Bike Cleveland. Whether you're on two wheels or four, remember it's not your road or my road, it's our road. We're all drivers. Bikes are legal road vehicles. Give your biking friends at least 3 feet of space when driving or passing. This message is brought to you by Bike Cleveland. Next traffic update in 9 minutes at 5:30. Pat Butler, News Radio, WTAM 1100, Total Traffic.
Been beautiful to be out on the bike or whatever you've tried to do the last couple of days. See if we can get one more out of Holly Strano here at Channel 3. Hi, Holly.
Woo! Bill, it's looking awesome again today and even warmer. More sunshine, highs in the low 80s. Cloud cover increases tonight. Scattered showers, rumbles, late 60s. More scattered showers and storm chances for your Thursday. We're in the low 70s.
Thanks, Holly. 58 starts this morning at your severe weather station. You get news updates, top and bottom of the hour. Anytime online, of course, WTAM.com. Kathy Davis following the stories at 5:30. The votes are in, right?
The votes are in. Well, partially. A local school district has a recount after right now putting a levy on the ballot seems just too close to call. A hidden cam from inside a Cleveland Clinic restroom in Medina, and their dog ran away during a tragic car accident, giving the family a double whammy of loss. Now that family and their dog have been reunited. Those stories and more in 8 minutes at 5:30.
The Iran deal.
The United States will withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal. We cannot prevent an Iranian nuclear bomb under the decaying and rotten structure of the current agreement. It's a bad deal.
President Trump in the announcement yesterday, Bill Zimfer breaks it down for us this morning. Good morning, Bill. Before we get to who likes it, who doesn't like us getting out, kind of set this up. This was a big stage Trump set yesterday with the announcement, right?
I'll tell you what, this has set off a whole lot of wheels in motion now after the president announced that we're pulling out of this deal. And not only pulling out of the deal, but reinstating some sanctions against Iran. And as part of those sanctions, Bill, it involves businesses that do business with Iran, telling them if you want to continue to operate with the United States and do business here, you can't do business with Iran. That affects a lot of companies in Europe and a lot of banks. So there's a lot happening here and a lot of wheels in motion this morning.
Speaking of Europe, it looks like people in the region, our allies, especially Israel, loves us getting out of this thing, but the European allies do not.
Yeah, the people in favor of this, of course, Israel, which wanted us to get out of the deal, they firmly support the president. But an interesting note here, Bill, first thing that Benjamin Netanyahu did this morning, he got on a plane and went to Moscow to meet with Vladimir Putin, and that's where he is right now. That's interesting. Also, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain also in favor of this move. Everybody else that we've heard from, France, UK, Germany, the EU, of course, Russia with some interesting comments, all against this. Russia saying that it is a significant violation of the agreement and it's new confirmation of Washington's incompetence.
Just stepping back for a minute, though, I know it's a different part of the world, but we were also talking about a nuclear weapon in North Korea. Trump, with the hard line, has got, looks like them at the table. Maybe he's hoping the same thing with Iran then.
It's a possibility, although, you know, I think we're going about it in a different way with Iran rather than North Korea. Iran is going to, they're right back at us, burning the American flag in their legislature this morning and saying that they will begin enrichment of nuclear materials if they cannot maintain the deal with Europe, there will be a big summit meeting involving the European members involved in this joint comprehensive plan of action and Iran. That'll take place on Monday.
Bill Zimp for breaking it down this morning. Bill, thanks.
You're welcome, Bill.
Former President Barack Obama, not surprising, saying it was misguided for him to pull out of the deal. Obama says President Trump's decision to pull out the U.S. out of the Iran nuclear deal is, quote, so misguided. The former president released a statement saying that walking away from the multi-nation deal turns our back on America's closest allies. Obama said the deal was negotiated by the nation's leading diplomats, scientists, and intelligence professionals. President Trump, of course, called the Iranian nuclear deal disastrous and said it makes it easier for Iran to actually obtain nuclear weapons. Bill mentioned Netanyahu. Within an hour of President Trump's announcement regarding the Iran nuclear deal, Syria says Israel launched airstrikes south of Damascus, an area previously identified as the site of a suspected Iranian military base. Israel says they had spotted, quote, irregular activity of Iranian forces and ordered authorities in the occupied Golan Heights to open and prepare missile shelters. The Israeli military says they deployed new defenses and mobilized some reservists in the area. And as Bill said, Netanyahu headed to Russia to meet with Putin. Kind of interesting. That story and more we'll be following throughout the day on News Radio WTAM 1100 with updates. Did you vote yesterday? Take time. Primary election in Ohio, around the country, of course, and Kathy's got more coming up, and there's links at WTAM.com. There was a interesting race in West Virginia where the Republicans, it's kind of like Ohio, where, I mean, the ads this spring in the primaries, like on the Republican side, you had Bernanke and Gibbons back and forth. Bernanke wins that. But in West Virginia, Republicans were battling to take on Joe Manchin, the former governor, for the Senate seat that Manchin now holds. And there was a lot of speculation that Manchin was going to flip and become a Republican anyway in the last year or two, but he didn't. So the state of West Virginia votes yesterday. Now, this is this Blankenship guy. If you have been following this, this guy ran a big coal company, and actually was in prison for a while, comes back, he's mad at everybody, so he runs on the Republican side to take on Joe Manchin. He loses. Listen to what he had to say last night.
There's soccer moms, people that have to get up every morning and go to work, you know, people that maybe are focused on church or community activities. They really don't have the time to invest in understanding the issues and who's representing those issues.
So he loses, and he blames pretty much the people that run the country. You know, you get up, you go early to work, you're going to church, you're a soccer mom. You don't have time to know what's going on. You shouldn't even be able to vote. Here's our buddy Blankenship one more time. I love this cut.
Soccer moms, people that have to get up every morning and go to work, you know, people that maybe are focused on church or community activities, they really don't have the time to invest in understanding the issues and who's representing those issues.
They just care about their country, their God, and their kids. Don't worry. And that guy lost. Wow.
To come forward, and I want to say to anyone who was victimized by the Attorney General and has not yet come forward, please do come forward to the NYPD.
You just can't make this stuff up. That's the governor of New York, Cuomo, the mayor of New York, de Blasio, and I've got Michael Bauer to explain this to me. Let's role play this. I'll ask you the questions. You answer me. Who are they talking about and why?
They're talking about former now Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, who is officially under investigation and has stepped down. He is physically, at least accused of physically abusing four women, and there have been many more since that time that have come out as well, Bill, that have talked about different instances, like one woman, for instance, detailing a blind date. By the way, first date, blind date with Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, where he got real aggressive, got real drunk, and at one point during the evening got jealous that she was receiving texts from a male friend, and then she demanded, because of his reaction, to be left off at a city corner in New York City. He did so, sped away, and they hadn't seen each other since. She was talking about how aggressive this guy was, how drunk he was at the time, and this is just one of the many stories that have come out in regards to Eric Schneiderman and some of the details of what he did while he was Attorney General. Now, under investigation by Attorney General Madeline Singus, and in regards to one specific case out on Long Island where he allegedly slapped another attorney.
Politically, I heard he was a rising star. He was also really going after some of these guys in this Me Too thing, right?
Yeah, and he was definitely a guy who was going after President Trump. He was, you know, not only being a fellow New Yorker, but also part of that Me Too movement and a rising Democratic star was detailing in tweets regularly that he was going after President Trump, and he would nail this guy for the bad things that he had done to women, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
President Trump sort of returning that volley yesterday in a tweet saying, and you were saying, after the announcement that he had stepped down and these charges were brought against him.
You just can't make this up. Michael Bauer. Thanks, Michael.
You got it, Bill. Have a great morning.
You too. The first tweet this guy, was the day, did you follow this? The day before yesterday, the first reaction from this attorney general was a tweet in that he admitted he's divorced from his wife. He was married like 30-some years. She put out a statement that she has no idea what they're talking about. He'd never acted that way with her. But the first statement he put out was, well, I like to do some role-playing on dates. And evidently it got out of hand. Sad. But now he's out of a job. Listening with your Google Assistant. Thank you. If you got a Google Assistant, make sure you tell him to wake you up with WTAM 1100 on iHeartRadio. Greg Stebbin on Google this morning. Follow Greg on Twitter, at Greg Stebbin. Always writes on some good stuff, tech culture. Morning, pal. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
All right, let's talk about Google. It's a part of our life. Our phone is a part of our life. Pictures, a part of our life. We love sharing things, but you're telling me this morning, Google wants me to use my phone less? What's going on?
Yes, so this applies to anybody with an Android phone. And by the way, there are far more Android phones than there are iPhones. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people think the iPhone dominates, and it does not. And so Google just unveiled something called digital well-being.
Okay.
And the idea is we use our phones so much, we are so obsessed with them, that Google's going to make it easier for us to recognize when we have a problem and take control of it. So the first thing they're rolling out, and this will be in the next version of Android called Android P, it's a dashboard that shows you how many times a day you've unlocked your phone, how often you use your phone, and which apps you spend the most time on your phone using.
That's like seeing the calories on a menu. Maybe you don't want to see that.
Maybe, or, you know, there's kind of the irony of, oh, thank you, you gave me an app to help me stop using apps. So am I just going to obsess about this app and use this app more? Will I be sharing it on social media? It's almost maybe like a weight loss program where, as you said, with the calories,
right.
Now I'm going to vow to cut back on my phone use just like I vowed to cut back on my calories.
Okay, so that's dashboard. Now, they're also going to do some time limits for us?
That's right. So you can actually go into your phone in this new version of Android and say, I don't want to spend more than 9 hours a day on Facebook. I'm kind of kidding on that. Of course, that's too low. You'd need to make it 11 or 12 hours.
Sure.
No, you
right.
could say,
right.
I don't want to spend more than 30 minutes a day on Facebook. I don't want to spend more than 30 minutes a day on Instagram or whatever. And once you hit your limit, it won't lock you out, but it'll kind of visually gray it out so that it's very obvious to you that you've hit your limit. I think there is some usefulness in that if you've reached a point where you're willing to accept that you might have a problem.
Interesting changes coming to your Android, thanks to Google. They're also going to have a do not disturb mode and another way to let your phone get some sleep, get some rest. Now, Greg Stebbin with us. Let me ask you why. Why are they doing this?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One is they're a technology company and they can, and technology companies like to do things with technology. But I also think they're trying to head off a PR debacle before it happens. I mean, there is a ton of research out there now that shows that people are really obsessed with their phones and that it's, you know, it's almost, I mean, the word addiction gets used, a digital addiction. And I think Google very wisely is saying, if we've created something that people are addicted to, and we don't do something to get control of it, the government is going to swoop in and tell us there's things we have to do or other entities that are going to be embarrassing for us. So maybe if we can get control of it, we'll get kudos for taking control of it, and we'll actually head off that big, bad PR disaster.
I was going to say, like a nice, like a PR move, like, you know, a company saying we recycle more, you know, like us. I mean, Google's kind of doing that.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay.
And I also think that they probably recognize that a smart company should want to get us to use their services more. and not burn up their PR and have bad PR about us using lots of services they don't really care about. So, for instance, one of the things they're going to do is they're going to create a more effective do not disturb mode where you won't be interrupted by notifications and things, so you won't be as tempted to randomly pick up your phone. Well, how will you use that do not disturb mode? By telling the Google Assistant that you want to go into do not disturb mode. The point here is, ultimately today, what Google wants you to do is to train you to use your voice and the Google Assistant to do everything. Because if you start using your voice to control your phone, the next logical thing is you'll start using your voice to tell Google to buy things and do other things that are real revenue generating.
I knew the money came in somewhere.
Follow the money. Logic will come.
Greg Stebbin, follow him on Twitter, at Greg Stebbin. Good topic. Thanks for the info.
It's great to be here.
We have everything it takes to win.
Your Morning Cavaliers update brought to you by Huntington. Want a bank that believes in looking out for its customers? Welcome to Huntington. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Allie Clifton, Fox Sports with us. Whatever it takes. I guess Rodney Hood did not get the message. Let's get that story out of the way first. Good morning. Mike Snyder's alongside. Hi, Allie.
Hi, you guys. How are you?
Good. What do you make of Hood?
You know, I believe in the stories that have come out of it. Obviously, we've been off, and the guys are getting some rest right now, so haven't got a chance to really be around. But, you know, what I saw from Rodney in huddles throughout the game, he remained very engaged, and he was supportive and positive with his teammates. And so I think down the stretch, you know, what has come from it in regards to him just allowing other guys to get time and play, and I didn't see anything negative come from Rodney per se. I understand that it probably isn't the best look, and you wonder why, but until Rodney really speaks on it to the media, I take it for what I saw, and he remained engaged throughout that game four and was supportive and positive.
And really going forward, Allie, it's really how his teammates feel about things regarding that, because this is the time of year where it really is about just, hey, can you give me 3 minutes here? Whatever is asked of you when you get to the playoffs, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly. And I think that's, you know, an adjustment that, you know, I think he has to understand, Rodney himself, is no matter the amount that you're called upon to give, like the motto says, whatever it takes, you have to be willing to sacrifice and put forth for this team, no matter how it comes. I understand for a lot of guys, this is new territory, but it's a learning process for a lot of them as well. So you're right, Mike. Whatever it takes is certainly what you have to be willing to give come this time of year.
And it's really been a very accurate slogan for the Cavs this year. Allie, I wanted to ask you, I know you, Richard Jefferson was in working with you this week in terms of the TV coverage. I know you do a podcast with him. I was curious if you spent some time talking to him. What's his take of this Cavaliers team right now?
You know, he had such great positive things to say, especially after this last series. I remember I stayed engaged with him throughout the first round with Indy, and he gave a lot of credit to Indy and just how well and hard they were playing. But what he saw here in this last round, when we had him especially on board these last two games, he was impressed with the way the Cavs were playing. And he actually said after game four that the way they played against Toronto, they could contend absolutely hands down with anyone. And that includes the Western Conference. So I thought it was really awesome to hear him say that. Someone who has such expertise and knowledge of the game, I feel like he has such great insight. But at the same time, someone who understands a lot about the core group that still remains here in Cleveland. And so I thought it was great to hear that. And I think what we actually saw that in that Toronto series, a lot of the experience paying off from round one, guys getting comfortable finding a rhythm, and really coming together as a unit. And you only hope to see that get stronger as the playoffs continue.
And really, as remarkable as LeBron has been through all of this, it has been a sight in these last few games to really see the supporting cast come around, Allie, and that is huge for the Cavs going forward, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, one thing that I actually took away, too, Richard had a conversation with Jeff Green, and Richard said, have you figured out what it really takes to play alongside or play with a superstar like LeBron? And Jeff said, you know what, I didn't understand, I didn't really realize it until you get into these moments. And it really comes to play with the quick decision-making you have to be able to make in the playoffs playing alongside LeBron, because that is your system. And so you have to be willing to catch and shoot, catch and drive quick. And if not, you get rid of the ball. And that's where you find the ball moving now. Guys not really thinking, but just reacting and playing, not only to the game and what the defense gives them, but also alongside a superstar like LeBron who can dictate outcomes. And when they come together as one to be able to dictate those together, it's powerful. And I think we saw that in the Toronto series.
Allie Clifton, Fox Sports. We're all waiting now to see who we play next. Allie, thanks.
Thanks for your time.
Bridge on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Your morning Indians update. Tom Hamilton joins us this morning for Falls Motor City. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Morning, Hammy.
Good morning, guys.
Okay, 3-2 loss. We'll get to Kluber, but I think the problem was the 2, not the 3, Tom.
Yeah.
We got to score more runs, man.
Well, there you go. There's the key to the game. Because you're right, Bill, it's it was a weird game because they lose their starter 4 batters in, and you're like, well, you know, this is putting the Indians in great shape because they're bringing in a guy that lost a spot in the rotation. And then the Suter comes in, and not only does he pitch well, but, I mean, nobody has a whole lot of success against Corey Kluber. I mean, the numbers back that up. And this guy gets his first ever Major League home run, a place to be the game winner. To your point, Bill, I never thought 3-2 was going to be the final score of that game when we were still early in it.
Tom, that being said, Kluber has given up 10 home runs in the early going. I know it seems silly to really worry about him, but that is a big number for him to allow. Any concern there?
No, I really don't think so, Mike. And I think the reason being is what you said. I mean, you look at the rest of his numbers. He came in last night, I believe it was 5th in the league with batting average against him, something like 174. So what you're seeing, especially now that, you know, Corey Kluber's proven he's arguably the best pitcher in the game, is that you're not going to allow the count to get too deep. You as a hitter know if it gets to 2 strikes, it's all but over. And so you're seeing guys trying to ambush Kluber early in the count. You know, and if he makes a mistake, he made probably one mistake last night, a breaking ball to Travis Shaw that, you know, he hit the 2-run home run in the first inning. Other than that, you know, even though Suter hit a home run, I mean, goofy things happen in the game. So I don't read much into that. I would if, say, for instance, his ERA was 4.5, but, you know, he was 8th in the league in earned run average when he went into the game. And that opponent's batting average is, to me, more important than how many home runs he's given up. But, it just seems like right now there isn't much margin for error with the Indians, whether it's the back end of the bullpen or whether it's the Indians scoring runs. I think Bill hit upon it, Mike. The 2 runs. This Indians club is not scoring runs unless they homer, and that's not the way they're built.
Yeah, it's been kind of a hodgepodge, Tom. You look at the group right now. They've got Lindor and Ramirez. They've gotten it going. Still need really Kipnis and Encarnacion to get things together. They're just not putting together those big innings. They had a couple of games where they did, but it just hasn't been consistent to this point, has it?
No, it really hasn't. And then you got the bottom of the order. I mean, in the American League, and we've seen it with the Indians, and they're going well, they're a threat to score every inning because 1-9, you know, they're clicking. But that hasn't really been the case all year. There's still a lot of guys in this ball club that aren't hitting 200. And the Indians, in a lot of ways, are fortunate that the division is what it is right now because you're under 500 and you're in first place. And we haven't even seen the Indians come close to playing the way you know they're capable of.
So, again, bottom line, you think my take on the 2 runs, that indeed was the problem last night.
Yeah, that's really what this whole conversation was about. We could have just said, you know, Bill, we're so thankful that you finally came back to work and I got to talk to you for a change, and you're right as always.
Just mark it up. All right, Hammy, we'll be listening today. Thank you, partner.
Thanks.
Be good, buddy. GanleyAuto.com, Drive Insider with Mark Munch Bishop at High Noon. Tom Hamilton, Jim Rosenhaus with the call 110 today on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Home of the